Is called up yonder, I will be there. Why don't you stand up a little bit and stretch a moment there. I know we've been standing and sitting down and standing, but let's sing verse number 2. On that bright and wondrous morning when the dead in Christ should rise and the glory. I want to hear you. Labor for the master
from the dawn to setting sun.
Let us talk of all
his wondrous loving grace.
Yes, yes. Then when all
of life is over and our work on earth is done,
and the roll
is all of yonder,
sing it with us there on Facebook, will you? Be seated, but you know what? There is a yonder. Amen. Yeah, there is a yonder. There's an eternity for God's people. Hebrews tells us there remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. Hallelujah. There remains a rest for the people of God. And that wonderful rest of heaven. Right now we can rest in His will. Right now we can rest in Canaan land as a picture of the will of God doing what He wants done. But the eternal rest we're going to have one day. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Brother Rick, you singing for us with me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There's another miracle. If you want to say, I wonder if God does any miracles. Well, you're right. There's one. I could just keep pointing out miracles here in our church family. Hallelujah. We know our God is in the miracle business. Amen. Bless you, God.
You know, He promised to give us back what the locusts eat.
Yep.
So, boy, He ate a bunch of mine. But I'm beginning to get it back. Y'all pray for me. This, a lot of this medicine and stuff I take, it makes me real dry. Dries my throat out. Have to drink water. You know, the old rich man wanted one drop. I got a whole bottle. So, praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord there's a wall here I live in, so I don't fall down, too. So y'all pray for me. I used to sing this in the choir. You know, it was the first time I've sung since I got sick. Four or five years ago. Praise the Lord. Thanks to Calvin. Today I went back to the place where I used to go. Today I saw the same old crowd I knew before. When they asked me what had happened, I tried to tell them. Calvary, I don't come here anymore.
Thanks to tell them. Thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. And then we went back to the house where we used to live. My little boy said, son, never fear, you've got a new dad. Thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore.
Thanks to Calvary, I am not the dad I used to be.
I tried to tell him,
thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I don't live here anymore.
So I think we just need to follow up with this. God is so good.
God is so good.
That's right. Sing it with him. Here we go.
God is so good. He's so good to me.
What they were doing was going to bring him through.
That's right.
And how we met around this altar and we prayed.
Yeah.
He's our brother.
That's right. Amen.
We felt God had more work for him.
Yeah.
And today,
yeah.
Today, 5 years later, God is putting him to work again.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Glory be to God. Let's sing that chorus again. God is so good. One thing you can do is to praise God all the time, in any situation, in every situation.
God is so good.
I believe that.
He's coming soon. He's coming soon. He's so good to me.
I love him so. Let's do that.
I love him so.
church. Hallelujah. What a blessing. Bless his holy name. I'm telling you, we're traveling on some holy ground this morning. What do you mean by that? I mean he's here. His presence is here in an unusual way. And it's a presence where you're in awe of him. That's the way I feel in my heart. I'm in awe of him. Sometimes there's a presence where you want to just shout and run. And other times there's a presence so very strong you just stand in awe of this great God, this mighty God, who is the God above all rulers, who rules and reigns over all, no matter who, where, what, when, no matter if there are powers in the heavens, which Ephesians 6 describes, or if there are powers anywhere, he's the Most High God. Hallelujah. He's above them all. He rules over them all. Aren't you glad you know him today? And can I say to him, I'm thankful he stopped in to be with us. Bless his holy name. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah, Sandy. Yes. Absolutely. Hallelujah. That's amazing. That's amazing, then. Yeah. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
But
yes, he did. And all of us. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I like GPS, but I like God's plan of salvation better, don't you? Hallelujah. I like God's provision for his servants better than I do my, I don't know what GPS stands for, actually. Guidance what? Okay. Guidance. Global positioning system. Hey, I've got somebody that's above the globe that's taking care of that. Isn't that great? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, church. And so do you. And I'm still old-fashioned. I don't use the GPS too much. You know, I can't help it. I hear women telling me things all the time. And to listen to them, you know, again, turn here, and then if I miss it, turn around and go back, you know. Take the next street, and I'm thinking, listen, girl, you don't know what's on my mind. I'm going to stop up here and get me some buttermilk and a moon pie, so be quiet a minute so I can do that. But anyway, we have a God that's in control, church. Don't forget that. Folks, hallelujah. Thank you, thank you. We appreciate it. Hey, let's stand. Let's sing a chorus here. This morning, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art! Then sings my soul. That's our lovely Lord. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Take your Bibles and look with me there in Habakkuk this morning, if you would. My, the whole service, the sweet Spirit of God has moved the entire service this morning in the direction of this book of Habakkuk. There in the Old Testament, And it's a book that is often overlooked. These minor prophets, as Josh has brought out, are not minor at all. They have a major message, and Habakkuk does. He has a foundational truth of faith in there that totally has been the North Star of the Christian faith. Habakkuk has it right there in his little book. He's the first one to see it. He's the first one to say it. That is the foundation. It's the North Star of the Christian faith. It's the North Star, can we say, of the Protestant movement. This, and Habakkuk is the first to see it. And God revealed it to him here some 600 years before Jesus came. And he revealed it to Habakkuk. It's only three chapters. And it is the 35th book of the Bible as we march through our Bible this year. It's the 35th book of the Bible. And it has so many great lessons to share with us. And I want you to pay close attention to them, because it fits so well with the days that we are in. It fits so well with the challenges that's out there in front of us, the worry that people are experiencing. There are those who have confined themselves to their homes, some of them very necessarily because of the virus and underlying problems they have. Others out of fear are paralyzed. Others out of fear and discouragement and depression has found their joy removed from them. They have found that it's hard to even open the blinds, pull the drapes back where they can look outside. They find themselves going back in their memory to other happier associations like that, which is good to do, but you can't dwell back there. You've got to go further than that, not backwards, but forward. When you read Habakkuk, you know what his name means? His name means to embrace or to cling. Doesn't that sound like an interesting name? To embrace or to cling. Habakkuk, to whom are you embracing? To whom are you clinging? Who are you grabbing hold of and won't let go? Well, King Josiah is probably the time Habakkuk wrote, was around the same time of Jeremiah and King Josiah. He was a good king, but Habakkuk wasn't clinging to the good king. Habakkuk wasn't embracing the good king. He was embracing a king that was in control of all things. He was in control of the present and the future. He had taken care of the past, and he's taken care of our past. And though your sins be as scarlet, they can be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they can be as wool. You can be the most horrible sinner on planet Earth, and Jesus paid the sin debt for you. And he paid the sin debt for me. It's paid for. He did it all on Calvary. It's all done. He did it. The past is cared for by this one Habakkuk's clinging to. He's looking forward to that day when Jesus would come and pay the debt. We're looking back to the day when Christ died on the cross of Calvary and was buried and rose again so he could shed his blood for all the sins of all the world and for every human being in past, present, and future, everyone that would. And Habakkuk finds this out. Have faith in him. Who would believe? Habakkuk unlocks this great truth. That's the North Star of the Christian faith, that the New Testament expounds upon three different times. And the greatest writers of the New Testament expounded upon it. This truth that God unlocked to Habakkuk in these dark days. Habakkuk sees God as the most holy, 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 holy God. And he's more worried about God being insulted than he is the nation of Babylon that's going to invade Judah and take them all captive. He's more concerned with the God's honor and God's holiness. And when you have someone who's more concerned with God's holiness and God's honor and God's great, great person himself, then that God's going to unlock a truth to that person that others won't see. He'll share with you in that intimate place, in that close place with him, where you can get into that secret place, as Psalm 91 calls, and you realize this holy God. You're so full of Him. Habakkuk's full of Him. He's looking at this God. He's clinging to Him. He's embracing Him. Chapter 1 opens with a sob, actually. Weeping, crying, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. The burden, or the sob. You know, here's, he in essence sobs out, weeps out, cries out these next few verses. Oh Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save? Lord, how long will this take place? Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. The law is slacked, or the obedience to the word of God. Judgment doth never go forth, for the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. And here is Habakkuk, can I say in the opening here, he's pouring out his heart. He's clinging to this one, the only true God, the great Jehovah God, clinging to Him with all He is. And he's looking at this storm that's unraveling and about to blow in around him. This storm that's coming in, and it's the nation of Babylon that's going to overrun Judah and just take it into captivity. He's looking at that. And in looking at the storm, he needs to see what's God doing. But he's puzzled here. And that's important to note this. He's puzzled because he doesn't understand what is happening. Now, how many of us understand today what's happening here in our land? How many of us understand we're all in somewhat of a, even the Center of Disease Control is in a quandary. And they change positions often. And they have this past week on certain things. They told us in March that they say, no, don't do that now. Or yes, do this now. Or no, there's no need for that. But yes, there is. And they're as confused as a termite in a yo-yo like we are. Amen. And they don't know what's up and down. Habakkuk says, Lord, I'm puzzled. I'm puzzled. I haven't seen you act this way before. Haven't seen this situation as it was before. And it hasn't been. And Jeremiah's just like him, and he's prophesying at the same time. And Jeremiah's puzzled. God hasn't acted like this before. He's always redeemed his people. He's always fought for them. And now he says he's not going to. Now he says that he's going to allow Babylon to come in and be the judgment against Judah, and they're going to destroy the temple, and they're going to wipe the ground clean where the temple sits. They're going to destroy the walls of Jerusalem. They're going to take everybody captive. And here is Habakkuk and Jeremiah, and they're saying, Lord, we haven't seen you act like this before. And we're puzzled. But that happens when we have a problem. And when we're looking mainly at the problem, we're always puzzled. Because problems have a way of doing that. Problems have a way of puzzling you. Because you can't figure them out. If you could figure them out, guess what? Wouldn't be a problem. Thought I'd throw that in there. That's a bit of wisdom, isn't it? If you could figure it out, it wouldn't be a problem. But it is a problem. And the problems when you look at it, when you're looking at the storm, and you're looking into it, it's puzzling. What do we do with these problems? I'm going to tell you here in Habakkuk, because he sees what to do about it. The problem looking at the storm is now he's groping for faith, because he sees how big the giants are. He sees how dark the storm is. He sees what monsters are lurking in the dark there. He sees all of the horrible things that could happen. And he's looking at this, and faith is groping what to do. What do I do when that happens? Number one, in earnest prayer, as Habakkuk's doing, you seek the leadership of God. You pour your heart out to God. You seek His leadership, the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You remember that He is God, by the way. You remember that He is holy, by the way. You remember that He does keep His promises. In verse 12 of that same chapter, "Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. Thou hast ordained them for judgment." God, I see that You've ordained Babylon for judgment. Almighty God, Thou hast established them for correction. And here is Habakkuk saying, you know what? God, I've told You my problem. I've told You what I see. I told You the fear that's in my heart. And I've poured out my heart to You. I'm puzzled because You haven't answered me yet. Then when God begins answering him in verse number 5, he can hardly believe his ears. The Lord says, I'm going to do a work in verse 5 in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you. Now this is prophetic because he's talking about also in these end times where he's going to bring Israel back together, and he's done that. Paul quotes that again in Acts chapter number 13, and he tells them the Lord Jesus is going to bring back all of the folks of Israel that's scattered throughout the world. He's going to bring them back to the country. And he's done that. He has been doing that since 1948, and they're gathering back in large numbers. So we're living in these days that we know are the end times. That very evidence itself. And here is Habakkuk getting this information, and as it's brought to him, he is reminded that God is this holy God who has created all things. By His power, all things consist and are held together. He's the everlasting God. He's the God that keeps His promises. And He says, Lord, You promised us that we would be an eternal kingdom. That's what You promised Abraham. That's what You continued in Your promise to Jacob and Isaac. And all of these, You promised them. So, Lord, I know. I know what You promised. And I'm clinging to that promise. And he should. But now remember, he's puzzled by this problem. And that happens to me and to you when we look at the problems. Now here's what you got to do. Habakkuk didn't stay there. Thank God for that. Faith won over in chapter number 2. In chapter number 2, he says, I'll stand upon my watchtower. I'll set me up on the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. He says, I'm going to my watchtower. Now, what does that imply to me? He is looking now not at the storm. He's looking through the storm. Can I say it this way? He's getting on the tower where he can look above the situation. And what you and I have to do in these days is get on the tower and look above the situation and get the right perspective. Our perspective is never accurate when we're looking at the problem and we're looking at the storm and it's hitting us right in the face. It is never, ever, ever accurate because fear never makes the right decisions. Fear always makes wrong decisions. I could have preached a message out of this, how fear and faith go together, because truly it does. I'll incorporate a little bit of that truth in here. There's fear in chapter number 1. There's a problem in front of him. He's puzzled. He's afraid. He pours his heart out to God. In chapter number 2, he says, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I've got to get the right perspective here. I can't look at this. I can't face this fear. I can't let this fear choke me. I can't let this fear give me depression and discouragement. I can't let this fear paralyze me. No, 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 no. I've got to go much beyond that. So he says, I got to get to my watchtower. So he climbs and he climbs and he gets on his tower. Why would you do that? Because he's expecting an answer. Remember, he knows this God. And he knows this God has made a promise. So he's going to the watchtower. He's getting a new perspective over things. He wants to understand what is this God doing. Faith alone is enough. But if you're looking at the problem, you're puzzled. But if you're looking through the problem, looking through the storm, and that's where he's going right now, getting the right perspective, he finds out that faith is the answer. Faith in this God. faith in the promises of this God. That's the answer. I commit my problem to God. I confess to Him. I've reached an impasse. And that all happens in chapter 1. Some of you here this morning and some of you watching, this COVID thing has paralyzed you. Other things in life has paralyzed you. It's caused you to be afraid. It's brought you in. And you are, you're distraught. You're totally, can I say this? You're totally the opposite of what you were before this hit. And that should not be. I was a shouting Christian before COVID. I'm a shouting Christian right now. I'm a believer right now. And I want to tell you something. It doesn't matter what comes my way. I want you to know I'm a shouting Christian. Hallelujah. I'm a rejoicing one. I'm a confident one. I'm not a pessimist. I'm an optimist. I believe the future is bright. I don't believe it's gloom and doom. And it doesn't matter what the news media tells me. Yeehaw, hallelujah. I don't have to turn on certain channels and find out if I should be on top of the world or if I should be like Snoopy and dragging along, you know. Or should I be on top of my doghouse and bouncing around as Snoopy does? No, no, no. No, I don't have to do that. I'm on my watchtower, and I've got my perspective focused on Him, and I expect an answer. Our problem, we don't expect Him. We'd rather look at the problem. We'd rather look at the circumstance and the situation. You know, I don't have to worry anymore, that song. You remember hearing that? People love it. That's a very, very popular Southern gospel song. I don't have to worry anymore. It's not scriptural because you shouldn't be worrying to start with. Amen. Amen. I got a preacher friend. I play that for him every once in a while because he hates it. And I can't help being that kind. I told you what I was before. But anyway, some of that's still with me. I don't have to worry anymore. No, you don't have to worry now. If you're on the watchtower with the right perspective looking. Now look what he says. I'm up here, Lord. I'm looking. I'm expecting. I'm in my watchtower. Chapter 2, verse 1. Chapter 2, verse 2. And the Lord, what? Answered me. Well, I would never believe it. Would you? You ask the Lord and He, what? Answers? No. But He did. He said, I got the right perspective. I quit looking at this storm. Oh, it's huge. Black clouds. Oh, the enemy is awful. Horrible. He describes him in some of the verses there. And it scares you to death. But he said, wait a minute. I'm on the watchtower. I'm expecting an answer. I'm looking to God. And He answered me. And He says in verse 2, write the vision. Make it plain to the tables. Plain upon the tables, that he may run that readeth it. Now, what is he saying? To run. To flee in fear? No, no, no. He's saying they'll run with the message. He says, here's the vision. Here's what I'm showing you, Habakkuk. Here's the vision. And tell them that you're going to tell it to. Tell them to run with the message. Spread the message. What is the message? For the vision is yet for an appointed time. Hey, I like this. The vision is yet for an appointed time. God has made the appointments. God has made the arrangements. And He says, Habakkuk, I'm in control of this. I've made the appointments. I've made the arrangements. I'm in control of every bit of this. Understand that. But at the end, it shall speak and not lie. It's going to happen exactly like I say. And though it tarry, wait for it. Wait for me. I'm doing it because it will surely come. It will not tarry. He's giving him a promise. I'm handling this thing. He says, patience, my boy. Patience, my boy. Keep your perspective where it should be. Look through the lens of the Bible at this problem and have patience and perseverance. I've made you a promise. It's going to happen. And guess what he says in verse 4? And here's the North Star of the Christian faith. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. That's it. And Paul grabs hold of that in Romans chapter number 1. And right there in that great doctrinal book where he's telling the very doctrines of Christianity itself, the doctrines of salvation and justification and sanctification, he sheds all of that light in Romans. And in that great book, he starts out in chapter 1 and says, the just shall live by faith. I'm on the watchtower. Habakkuk already saw it, and I'm telling the rest of you. The message still come. But wait a minute, Paul. Habakkuk saw that 700 years before. Well, 650 years before. Yes. Aren't you glad that the folks who had those wonderful experiences and messages 2,650 years ago, it's the same God that's making the promise to you? Hallelujah. The same God that's making the promise to me, He hasn't changed. Hey, sometime during this week, you'll see a moon up there. If you get out of the house, I mean. But anyway, you'll see a moon up there. Just stop for a minute and say, Adam saw you. Eve saw you. Abraham saw you. Sarah saw you. Same old moon. Yeehaw. Same God. Made the promise to them. Habakkuk saw it before Paul was born. As a matter of fact, 650 years before Paul reveals it in Romans chapter number 1. And then he tells it again in Galatians. And then I think he's the writer of Hebrews. He tells it again in Hebrews. Paul said it 3 times. The just shall live by faith. And Martin Luther saw it in 1518. Is that right, Josh? Thereabouts, Josh said. He knows. 1518. He wasn't alive then, but anyway. He saw it and he said, wait a minute. It's not works. It's not doing a list of rules and regulations and following what this group says or this church says. It's not that. It's the just shall live by faith. It's faith in God. It's faith in grace alone in the Word of God and what God says. That's what it's all about. I bet I'm tearing this thing all to pieces, huh? That's what it's about. And he saw it, and now you and I are enjoying it. And what is Habakkuk learning? In chapter 1, he's looking just at the problem. He's looking at the situation and the circumstance, and he's puzzled and he's fearful. In chapter 2, he's getting the right perspective. He's on the watchtower. He's expecting God to answer. He's committed it to God. He's confessed that he's reached an impasse, and he's humanly impossible to do anything against this storm that's coming. It's totally impossible for Habakkuk to do anything against it, but yet God will. And he's looking for this, and he says, I believe God. Faith looks through the storm to the promise of God. God makes a promise. He says, you need this patience or focus on me. And then what can I do? My participation is believing God. It's trusting God. It's looking to Him. And I'm expecting an answer. Now He answers through His Word. He answers through the sweet Holy Spirit. He answers through circumstances. He moves things around, changes things. That's the way my Lord works. That's the way He answers. That's the way He does it. Through His Word. Keeping His promise. Through the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm doing. This is so marvelous. He tells us in chapter 2 also, he announces some woes. And in those woes, he tells you about 5 of them. He tells you a little bit, describes of what's going on in Judah at that time. In chapter number 2, verse 6, look at that. About the middle of the verse, he says, woe to him that increases that which is not his. He's what? He's abandoned. This is people that... it's nothing to them to embezzle, to steal. It's nothing of them to do things that are totally immoral. And there's no moral guides for them. It's, hey, get ahead any way you can, no matter what, who, when, where. Forget all of this. Abandon any kind of a moral guide that you had before or a milestone there before that was there to guide you. Forget all of that. Abandon all of that. Woe to him that increases that which is not his. How long, Lord, are you going to put up with this? Look in chapter, in verse number 9, there's the second woe. Tells you what's going on. It describes our nation today. Woe to him that covets an evil covetousness in his house, that he may set his nest on high, the pride, the greed, the arrogance there, that he may be delivered from the power of evil. He sees arrogance in verse number 9 and greed. And he sees down in verse 12, this is the third woe. Woe to him that builds a town with blood and establishes a city by iniquity. Don't you see abortion there? Building a town by blood. Oh, the abortion industry. The abortion industry, billions of dollars in the abortion industry. And the big fight today, folks, the big political fight is those that want abortion and those that won't have it. That's what it is. I mean, the shout the abortion move, aggressive abortion is out there. Aggressive abortion. It's not just abortion. Now they proudly say, we don't care if you know it's a baby. We know it's a baby. Let it be born. Kill it after it's born. That's infanticide. But it's abortion. So abortion, you know, there's too much money in it to let that go. And you have the platform of the Democrat Party. And I'm not being political, I'm just telling you the platform's the truth. You have that platform that says abortion is what we're for. You have the Republican platform that's not for it. I've got a black friend down there, acquaintance down in Texas, Fulshear, Texas. A couple, Bill and Deborah Owens, they're head up the Coalition for African American Pastors. I get their emails all the time. And he has said for years now, he wants to restore the morality, the originality of that party's platform. He wants to. I want to bring it back to what it used to be. He's working hard to do that. He's a great pastor, great Christian, got the right views. As far as biblical views, that's the way he looks at everything, biblically. And can I say, we're in this place today where we have this fight, and the true fight is about abortion. That's what it's over. I mean, you can label anything else you want. It's the freedom for that. They're building cities with blood and establishing a city by iniquity. Move on down in verse 15. Woe unto him that gives his neighbor drink, puts bottle to his lips, makes him drunken also. There's addictions. That was going on then. Addictions of all sorts. Doesn't have to be alcohol only. There's all kinds of the addictions out there today. And he sums it up in verse number 19 with his fifth woe. Woe unto him that saith to wood, awake, to the dumb stone, arise, it shall teach. Now what is he saying? He says the idols that are before people, They want something to guide them that is not God. They want something to worship that is not God. I wrote down in my Bible, of the authority of God is despised altogether. And that's, it is. So here's these five woes: abandon the moral guides, arrogance, greed, verse number 9, verse 12, abortion, verse 15, addictions, verse number 19, the authority of God is despised. I would like this wooden pulpit to say something to me. Say something, wooden pulpit. It won't say anything. Say something, carpet. It won't say a thing. Say something, brick wall. It won't say a thing. Why do you want it to say something? Because you won't listen to the one who is saying something. What is it, preacher? It's authority. Folks, listen, sum everything up. Pile it all in one pile. It comes down to this right here. Will you take the authority of God's word or not? Will you have God as your authority or is he not? is the authority over the Republican Party, is the authority over the Democrat Party, is the authority over the Libertarians, over the Independents, is the authority over every political party, is the authority over our nation or not. And the big thing is being said is no, no, no. Say something to me, wooden pulpit. Say something to me, brick wall. Say something to me. We don't want this authority. Well, guess what? It's not going to say anything. The authority is this book. The authority is this Bible. You know why they burn in protest? They burn this book? Because it's the authority of God. You know why they want to defund the police? Because it's authority. Tear down the monuments. It's symbols of our authority. Now listen to me. He describes this in chapter 2. But what am I doing? I'm on my watchtower. I've got the right perspective. God's made promises. And I'm listening to Him. I'm following Him. Hallelujah. I've got the right perspective now. You get to chapter 3. And in chapter 3, I love this. He's looking beyond the storm now. Chapter 3, he's looking beyond the storm. And he's praying. And you know, he actually is singing a prayer of Habakkuk, chapter 3, verse 1, the prophet upon Shigionoth. It's a song. Oh Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. Lord, in the midst of the years, look at that, revive thy work. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. Ah, he's singing his prayer. O Lord, would you revive your work, Lord? Even right now, with what's happening around us, revive your work, my Lord. Revive it. Reveal your power, God. Remember mercy, Lord. Revive your work. Reveal your power. Remember mercy. Oh, God, do that for us, Lord, please. Do that for us. He says, I'm with you always. All power and authority is His in heaven and in earth. God's always true to His word. Can I say to you, Habakkuk now ends this, he ends this book of his with this song. I like verse number 18 and 19 of chapter 3. Here's where we are, church. Here's where we've got to be. You don't want to hang around in chapter 1 looking at the storm, puzzled, fearful, the problems eating you up, dismayed, discouraged, depressed. You don't want to stay there. You want to get to chapter number 2, where you get on the tower and you're looking into heaven and you're looking to God and you believe His promises and you get the right perspective. You know He's going to keep His word. You know He's going to keep His promise. Lo, I'm with you always. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I've got a promise. I'm coming again. This right here in front of us is prophetic in the fact that our God is making this world susceptible to the spirit of the Antichrist and the philosophy of the Antichrist. By the way, I got to throw this in here real quickly. There's only two paths that you can take as a human being. Number one, you can take the path of faith, the just shall live by faith, or you can take the path of human philosophy and reasoning and say, I won't have faith in God. I want this pulpit to cry out. I want that stone wall. I want this carpet. I want some natural thing to talk to me. I don't want my faith in God. So it'll be human reasoning, human philosophy, or faith in God. It's one or the other. That's it. Cut and dried. You can label any other religion that you want to name. Label any religion. You can fit it in that category. Works, human philosophy, human reasoning. That's it. Or faith in God. Habakkuk says, I choose faith in God. I'm believing Him. I'm trusting Him. So in chapter 3, he starts out in chapter 1 with a sob. He starts out crying with everything that's in him. And he's looking at the problem. In chapter 2, he moves to the height, to the tower. And he's got a perspective of heaven. He's got a biblical perspective over what's happening. And by chapter 3, at the end of it, look what he says. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Hallelujah. Wait a minute, Habakkuk. How'd you get there, man? You was crying in chapter 1. You were tore all to pieces. He says, I got to the tower. And on the tower, I saw who He is. And now, guess what? I'm excited. I'll rejoice in the Lord. I'll joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet. That is a deer's feet. He says, I'm going to run and go. He will make me to walk upon mine high places to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. I can hear him singing this. He's saying, get a higher key. I got to get up higher than that. And that's what he's doing. He's saying, hey, sound it louder. We got to let these folks know. I'm not discouraged anymore. I'm not sad anymore. I'm shouting it out. My God's in control. I have faith in Him. It's not human philosophies. It's not human reasoning. I'm not foolish enough to look to somebody that is around me. I want to look to somebody that's above me, who's in control of it all, who has all things under His power. I want to look to Him. Now, you can trust anything else you want to, but honey, when it comes down to the time you meet God, you better know Him. Hallelujah. You better know Him. What will it be for you? Let's bow our heads in prayer. What will it be for you? Two ways. The just shall live by faith. Or will you live by your own reasoning? Will you live by the philosophy that higher education is promoting today, that every person is their own God, and you cry out to your own idols? You can make the wood speak. You can make the dumb rock speak. God could make the dumb rock speak. He said the rocks would cry out if men hushed their voice in praise. But you can't make a rock speak. Will you follow human reasoning and philosophies, or will you simply just believe God? Oh, preacher, I'm not arrived yet to where I can totally trust. Listen to me. You never will arrive. You'll never arrive. If you're not right now, right now in your heart, you know what I'm telling you is the truth. You know it. And there's an argument going on. Struggle. Will I simply believe God, or will I hold to something else that either I believe or that I'd like to see happen? My past? Or will I just throw it all in and say, Lord, I believe You. I'm trusting Jesus. I'm trusting Him. Now, I'm saying that to you this morning. If you're watching, if you're here in the church listening, and you do not know that Christ is your Savior, you've not given your life to Him, you throw it to Him right now. Jump off the cliff. I used that illustration once, and I've used it a lot since then. Many years ago, I was in a church preaching, and a lady come to the altar. She'd come several times during that week, and it seemed like she could never get satisfied. And I knelt with her on one night. I said, what's the problem? She says, I almost give my life to the Lord. And I said, why aren't you? I just can't reason it out. I said, listen, you're standing on a cliff, sister. If you died right now, hell's on one side and heaven's on the other. Won't you jump off in the arms of Jesus right now? Just jump off in the arms of Jesus right now. Fall in His arms, believe Him. Take Him simply by faith. And I left her alone. I didn't make the choice for her. She prayed on for a few minutes. She stood up all of a sudden and raised her arms. She said, I jumped. I'm in His arms. I said, that's what it is. Will you trusting by faith today. Fall into His arms. Jump into His arms. Lord, You're everything. I give it all to You. Give your life to Him today, right now. Now, if you're here and you've been hung up in chapter 1 of Habakkuk, you're sobbing, you're crying, you're listening to me, watching me on video, and you're not the person you were before COVID hit or what other problems might have hit, then listen to me. Don't stay in chapter 1. There's a chapter 2 for you. There's a high tower for you to get to. And in chapter 1, Habakkuk realizes he's looking at the problem. He's looking at it. He's puzzled. He's fearful. Then he says, wait a minute. I cannot be looking at this correctly. He goes to the tower, the Word of God. He climbs in that and he says, I'm looking to God. I'm trusting God. I'm believing God. I've prayed to Him. I've committed it to Him. I have no right to take it back. Once you commit in prayer, sincerely commit to Him, this problem, this situation, this circumstance, you've given it to Him completely, 100%. It's His. You have no authority to take it back. You have no authority to bring it back to you. You're on that high tower. You're looking to God. You're expecting God. That's where you need to be. And you can arrive there today. You can arrive there today. Simple. How do I do that, preacher? By faith. The just shall live by faith. God, You've got this. Lord, this is Yours. I give this to You. I'm going to look to Your promises. And then it puts me in chapter 3. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. I'll joy in the God of my salvation. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to praise Him. But Habakkuk, nothing's changed yet. Doesn't have to. I'm praising God. I'm rejoicing in Him. The Lord God's my strength. He's going to make my feet like hinds' feet. Hey, I've got this thing because God's got this thing. Let's stand our feet with our heads bowed. I want to invite you to spend some time right there in prayer, right in your pew. If you want to come to this altar, by all means, the altar's open. I encourage you to do that. If by Facebook or internet you're watching, here's what I ask you to do. You know what you need to do. Do it now. Do it now. Let Him have you. Let Him have you. Jump into His arms. Jump into His arms. Give yourself to Him. Don't wrestle with this thing. Give yourself to Him right now. Leave it alone. The just shall live by faith. You're here this morning, and the problem has been eating you up. You need more answers than that. I'm going to ask you, get rid of that. Get to chapter 2. Get in this book. Lord, I claim the promise of Your book. I claim the promise of Your word. I claim it. I claim it. Then you get to chapter 3. And right now, circumstances hadn't changed for Habakkuk, but his whole attitude was different. He was glorying in God. He was praising God. He says, because the Lord's my strength. Hey, He's lightened my heart. He's taken the burden. I can skip around. I can jump around now. I have peace now. The burden is lifted. I've given it to Him. It's deposited with Him. It's gone. Hallelujah. And he says to his choir leader and his orchestra, hey, kick that song into a better, higher beat, a higher note, and a faster song. Let me rejoice in my Lord. Father, help Your people today. Lord, You're doing a work in these days. You're doing a work. Lord, Father, it's not the promise of the Republicans. It's not the promise of the Democrats. It's not the promise of any political group. It's the promise of God and the Lord God Almighty that encourages His people. We know You're eternal. All things are Yours. Hallelujah. Help us trust You today. Not be overwhelmed by circumstances and problems, but Father, look to God. Not some false God. Look to God, the true and living God. Trusting, believing, expecting in these days to do great things. In Jesus' name we pray. Help us, Lord. folks are praying, getting help. I hope that perhaps you are right there where you're looking at us through your computer or your cell phone, your tablet, that you feel the warmth of this service as well. Glad Jesus passed by. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory, glory. Is that a C? Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touched me.
Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touched me. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touched me.
Go through all the days of the week, but since you're standing, let's just say it was on a Sunday for all of us, okay?
It was on a Sunday, somebody touched me. It was on a Sunday, somebody touched me.
It
was on a Sunday, somebody touched me.
I know
it was the hand
of the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. And bless His holy name. Amen. I love you. Thank you for being here. Devin, have you got a word?
I got something.
Oh, you do? Okay. Well,
yeah. As long as the video's off, I'm good. So.